Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this September 1st, 2022. 10:32 on the clock. You have your host, James, here, and we're joined by our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H Program Coordinator with UW Extension. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, James.
Good to have you here.
Well, it's good to be here.
Now, we're going to need everybody to keep it down the rest of the show because Laura deserves and has earned a nap. So that's what we're going to do with the show today. I'm just going to go ahead and talk about the things she wanted to talk about, and you go ahead and rest. You got to be a little beat. We just kind of wrapped up the fair a little while ago. How did that go?
Yeah, so the fair went great. And yeah, I could use a nap after that. I tell you that it's a lot of really long days. And we wrapped up on Sunday. An incredibly successful fair. Good. I was just talking to Pam out in the lobby. And, you know, we had fantastic weather with a couple of days exception, right? Mm-hmm. We always have to get some rain.
Yeah.
But then I took Monday and Tuesday off, but I think I could use another day or two. But that's okay. I'm glad to be here. This is a change of pace. This is a rest. And I get to talk with you about one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So it's a treat.
It's become certainly one of my favorite things, too.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. I don't have any history with 4-H, but I've never wanted to go back in time more than to be able to be a part of 4-H as a kid and stuff. And so kind of as an adult, one of the things I like to be able to do is promote the 4-H and talk about it. And you ask any of my friends that have kids, and they will tell you I talk a good game even off air about the 4-H. And all that really starts with you, Laura. When we first started talking, hanging out, I did not know that much about 4-H. Many of my friends growing up out here in Wisconsin were a part of 4-H, but didn't really know much about it. I have grown and learned so much from you about this program and how vital and important it is and how successful it is. And it's a nice note to start on here as we're beginning a new 4-H year.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell you that I didn't grow up in 4-H either, right? You know, I ended up volunteering myself into a career because once we discovered this, you know, it just made a world of difference for my family. And like so many others, like so many of your listeners, I'm sure, you know, when I first heard of 4-H, I thought it was all for farm kids. Like that was a farm kid program or something like that. But it was in taking my oldest, who's now going on 20, but he was 4, and we took him to the fair, and he saw Lego projects with ribbons on them. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to get ribbons for the Lego things that he built. And so that's when I first started taking a look at this thing called 4-H. And in the beginning, I'm going to tell you, I was a little bit overwhelmed because I didn't speak the language of 4-H, if you will, right? Because I was coming into it as an outsider with these preconceived notions.
Yeah.
And I am so thankful for the incredible staff at Extension Wood County who were able to kind of walk me through and help me figure out that, yes, 4-H could be something that would work well for my family. And they helped steer me into a club that was a good fit and helped encourage me to, like, build my family's participation. Because like so many other things, what you put into 4-H really helps dictate what you get out of it. The more you give, the more you try, the more you explore, the more you discover how amazing it is and how amazing the children are. And just, it opens up a whole nother world. So if we could take some time today, James, to kind of go back to basics.
Yeah.
And I think about who I was 15 years ago, and you know, when I was in the beginning of my discovery for my family, I'd like to offer that up to some of your listeners who might not, you know and understand quite yet.
I think it's a perfect idea. That's great. And let's go ahead and treat it that way. Let's kind of approach the subject as much of the audience as if they don't know what 4-H is. Let's kind of go right from the basics. Who can join 4-H?
Yeah, so 4-H is a unique program in that it's multi-age, it's multi-gender, and everybody kind of learns together. So our age range is from 5-year-old kindergarten, and hey, happy first day of school to so many families out there, right? So 5-year-old kindergarten through what we call 13th grade. So our young people have an opportunity to stay involved for a year after high school or until they turn 19 years old. And when they come together, it's all ages are together, all genders are together. So we have our youngest members learning and looking up to our older members. And, you know, we don't have to try and worry about one club meeting here or one over there and all of that kind of stuff to fit in, because everybody's going to learn and play and work together.
We've, especially just looking at the Central Wisconsin area and hearing from many parents, many school board members, we've done a really nice job of, like, you know, here in Rapids, we have the Rams area now, we've got the Lincoln set up, the Assumption. We've kind of set our grades up a little differently. One of the only, like, downsides I've heard from some parents is you don't have a lot of that interacting, like when I was in school, the sixth graders interacting with the first graders, and them being able to have that something to look up to, like that and everything. Mm-hmm. A lot of that interaction. There's also not a whole lot of things outside of maybe a couple of sports clubs, like soccer or something, where you have boys and girls interacting. There is a lot of feedback that I've heard out there, and a lot of science that backs this up, where we'll have, the sexes getting along a lot better as adults, the more interacting they have as kids, and seeing that, they're just like me. They're no different than me and everything. They go to a different bathroom than I do. That's about the only difference, or what have you. And as kids, at least. Mm-hmm. And that I think that creates not only empathy. I know it creates empathy. I know it does again, the science backs it up. But it's the opportunities for this are fleeting. There's not as many. 4-H offering this is, like, when we were kids, it was one thing. In 2022, it's such a different game, and it's so great to be able to offer that to kids and to parents, where they normally might not have that kind of thing, especially in even more rural areas where they may not have a lot of sports programs or some. We're kind of spoiled around here with all the soccer clubs and that. We have a lot of those opportunities. But even with that, not every kid likes soccer. Not every kid likes playing sports.
Yeah.
4-H, it covers the other bases.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think of, too, in that multi-age structure that 4-H has, is it helps people not only build friendships, but build levels of trust, you know. And I say this just because we're a few days off of fair. And it was amazing for me to see just how many of those older kids were taking younger ones under their wings when mom and dad might be busy helping another child do something. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's building a community of caring, and it's one of the things that I think I appreciate most. Because really we're all on the same team, and it doesn't matter if we're on different clubs or anything else. Like, there's a community built around that, and it's easily accepted and easily adapted into because it's right there in the club. Mm-hmm. Multi-age, multi-gender, and that's the expectation. So it doesn't matter to me or to the kids, you know, if you're from Snyder 4-H Club or McMillan Mavericks, somebody needs help, we're all jumping in and we're all going to work together, because we're already used to, like, welcoming, opening the doors to everybody and working together anyway. So
giving an opportunity to those young adults, those 18, 19-year-olds, to help young kids is also an opportunity that doesn't exist a lot in society very often. And that's so good for both sides, for the older adults, you know. It's one more opportunity to get your footing in on being an adult in that. It's also really good for these kids to see an example of what it's like when you get to be that age, of how you hand things down, how you help, you know, in that.
Yep.
It's a great combination.
It is just that community, and it is powerful. Mm-hmm. And it gets us ready, I think, for what it really means to be an adult, or to be a parent, or to be a great coworker, or whatever else, right? It is all about that team.
Now, one of the other questions that I get, especially from people that don't know a lot about 4-H, is, well, what are the costs? How does that end up? Or where does that go?
Yeah, so cost can be all across the board, but it's going to start and it's going to be very affordable. So depending on which club you choose to join, it's probably going to be in the neighborhood of $5 for the year to join.
My goodness.
Now, what projects are your kids going to choose to get into, right? So 4-H is not going to buy a calf for every 4-H member or anything like that, right? So if your kids want to get into the dairy program, that might be a little bit more expensive. Mm-hmm. But any programs that we do, on the whole, affordability is one of those pieces that we're always taking into consideration. Even with big programs like summer camp, We have great supporters that help us. They do some fundraising. So, by the way, if you need a plat book, Wood County 4-H plat books are always available for sale. And they help offset costs for things like summer camp and other programs. But, you know, the programs that we offer at the county level, we try to make them as inexpensive as possible. And clubs do fundraising, too. So if they do something like a big summer trip, we have a lot of we had one club that went to Madison this year, and we had another one that went to Wisconsin Dells. And they got those opportunities for very little money because the club does the fundraising, and then that goes directly to support kid participation.
And a big thank you to all of the branches of Extension, because it's great that they do this with 4-H. They do this with really all of their programs, try to make them affordable, try to make it so that the knowledge is right there for you and you can get it. I think our country's gotten a lot better at this, but for a long time, it was only if you made a certain amount of money could you have certain information. Like, you know, you couldn't go to get this certain class or this education only if you went to an Ivy League school or something like that. And education is becoming much more, or getting around to what it was always meant to be, free and accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
Extension really does work hard to do that. And that's great.
I have to, like, give a shout out to the United Way and their Alice report.
Yes.
Because when you take a look, you can see, and I heard you talking about this a little bit with Stephanie as well. When you take a look at just how expensive life is right now and what people are earning, they might not be in poverty, but they might be stretching their dollars just to be able to make sure that everything gets covered. And we don't want a family that's in that situation. We don't want their kids to lose out, right?
Yeah.
So whatever we can do to support young people and families now, we know is going to pay off big time for our communities in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So if affordability is a concern for your family, don't let that be a barrier to joining 4-H. We can make things happen for your family and for your young people so that they can get incredible opportunities. They can have fun, they can make friends, and they can just discover new passions or new skills.
We are speaking with Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW Extension. Going to take a very quick break and come back right back with some more info from Laura on Morning Magazine here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR for this September 1st, 2022, 10:45 on the clock. We're speaking with our friend Laura Huber from 4-H program educator with UW Extension. Laura, we are talking about costs, about who can join 4-H, as we're kind of reviewing for the audience what 4-H not only is, but how you can be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into what members do now. We've kind of gotten who can join, you know, pretty much a lot of kids and everything.
Yep.
It's not going to cost you a lot, depending on certain classes. But now getting into the nuts and bolts of stuff. Getting our hands in the dirt here. That's the metaphor I should have used. What do members do?
So when my family first got involved, I thought that 4-H was only at the club. You know, and there were some programs offered at the county, but it's more than that. There's lots of levels. So first of all, at their local club meetings, and this might be the Snyder 4-H Club in Rapids, it might be the Wittenberg Workers down in Nakusa, but every month they have just a general meeting, and there should be an educational kind of hands-on activity at every single one. There's some opportunities for one or at everyone. And of course, there's a little bit of business that has to happen.
Yeah.
That's what happens at the club. And every club has a different personality based on what their leaders and their members are really interested in. Mm. Okay, so I can't tell you that, you know, in September, every club is going to do this activity. Nope. Everyone has their own, you know, they lead themselves. And so they lead the kind of programs that they want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm. And then, you know, we talked about then, you know, the more you get involved, the more you get out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then we offer programs at the county level. And there are also programs offered at the state and national levels too. But, you know, those are for the older kids. So let's step to what we do in the county. Every year we have some really popular programs like our Project Discovery Day. Mm-hmm. And that's going to bring kids from all of the clubs together. And they're going to get to make some choices. What do they want to learn about? And they're going to be able to choose what classes they take, and all hands-on fun activities to learn. Because 4-H is not just ag, it's not just cooking, it's not just art. Like, it runs the gamut.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities. So speaking of, then we have Creative Arts Day, and that's really a festival celebrating performing arts, visual arts, all sorts of stuff like that. So that's something that our families really look forward to every, usually late winter, early spring.
Mm-hmm.
We do summer camp, which, you know, a lot of people associate with scouts. 4-H does summer camp, and we do overnight sleepaway camps, and we do day camps. On the statewide level then, too, I'm planning actually a conference right now that's going to be held in Wisconsin Rapids this November called Fall Forum. So kids from all across the state and volunteers coming together. And then we have opportunities for nationwide travel. So again, that's those older ages starting in about middle school. It might be going to space camp in Alabama. It might be going to Washington, D.C. It might be going to New York and Philadelphia. And Boston. I can't remember all the places that the kids went this summer, but lots and lots of opportunities.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Laura. Yeah. What was the age requirement again on this? What was it? Because that sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to be a part of this. Like, I'm too old. I'm too old. Okay. I'm not alone in this. I guarantee that there are other parents out there hearing this and like, oh, this sounds like something that would really be beneficial to my kid. Most of us don't know what our kids are going to be, what they're going to want to be, what field they're going to be pulled to or dive into or what have you. One of the best things we can do as parents, as guardians, what have you, is giving the kids as many options as possible, as many opportunities to see different fields, different walks of life, to find their calling, to find what's going to speak to them. It's, again, one of the things that I think 4-H does masterfully where, yeah, there is a lot of the ag industry. There's some involvement with that, but it's not just that.
Yeah.
It really does go into almost so many fields.
So one of the things that I think just changed, things that have changed since when I was in school. Like when I was going through middle and high school, I felt like the world was open to me, but I didn't know about a lot of career fields, right? And now I felt the pressure for my own kids. By seventh or eighth grade, they're supposed to know what pathway they're going to want to take as adults for careers. And how kids are supposed to be able to start forging that path with only the education that they're getting in schools, I don't understand how that can happen. And so that's this beautiful thing to 4-H, right? It just opens up. Because instead of learning what they have to learn about, kids can learn about the things that they're most interested in 4-H, and they can kind of forge their own path. And if they start going down a pathway and discover that they don't like it, they don't have to continue. They can stop and they can discover new pathways. There's no grade. You know, they're not, it's not counting towards a GPA or anything else. So there's no loss. They can chalk it up to, hey, that was kind of a cool experience. I discovered that's not for me. Let's try something new. And I think that's an amazing thing about 4-H. And I think it's so supportive to what our young people are going to become as adults. Because there are so many careers that don't even exist yet that these young people are actually going to be going into. And we can't imagine it. But we're giving kids an opportunity to problem solve and be flexible and, you know, be courageous in exploration, as silly as it sounds, but it's really true.
Oh, 100%. Very well said, Laura. And I couldn't agree with you more. I really appreciate that latter part there that you mentioned about, because it's one thing about the fields and the jobs we already know of. We also know that, like, right now, there is a job that is being created that none of us have any idea of. Even the person doing it may not realize that they are doing a brand new job.
Exactly.
It's so new. But that's the world that we're in now. It's very similar to when the Industrial Revolution first happened. And all of a sudden, it's like, what's a factory worker? Like, we need that. Well, okay, I guess we better start getting some of these.
Right.
It's an industry. There are many industries out there that are growing, and they're going to need more people. As much as there's that, there's also certainly industries that have been hurting, like the ag industry and our farmers and that. And my goodness, if one 4-H, for every 4-H program, if they just create one little bit of a spark in a kid to look into that industry or to want to pick up the family farm or something, well worth it. Like, done. Like, well worth the having a 4-H program in existence, let alone all the other things that they help and do and everything. That to me really speaks highly of the program and what it offers.
Yeah, and I think one of the best things that we do is we always encourage creativity to be incorporated into all of these things. So even those kids who might be taking over the family farm, you know, there's some thought processes. Instead of always doing it the way that it was done before, giving them the creativity to imagine how things might change, how they can make it their own, how they can make improvements. And that's not just the family farm, right? That could be applied to anything yeah. At all. That bravery, that creativity that goes with innovation and change, because change is one of those things that we fear most.
You're right? So good at this. You're so good at this job. You really are. It's a really good insight and really good points right there. Yeah. We're talking a little bit about the program highlights, and you ran through a couple of those that are really exciting and fun. Before we get to a couple of the other ones, as we're getting close to wrapping up here, because we always run out of time.
Yeah.
I really love the not just the offering of camp, but the different types of camps you offer, and it's something that I've heard from the audience before that they really appreciate too. And just to touch on that family fall day camp day, that seems like a really cool opportunity. It's one thing to send the kids off to camp or anything, but it's kind of fun for the family to get to do this.
Absolutely, because you know what? We found that there are so many parents now that don't get camp. Like, what is camp? We never went to camp as kids. What is this thing all about? So we decided on September 24th, we're going to have family fall day camp. It's going to be at Sandhill Wildlife Area in Babcock. So families are going to, you bet, especially this time of year. It's my favorite. So canoeing and archery and some arts and crafts and some group games, some of those typical camp activities. So young people and their parents are going to be able to experience this. So they discover the magic of camp, number one. Number two, maybe they're going to discover some cool activities that they can continue to do as a family, but then also have this introduction to new areas that are out there available to them in Wood County 4-H. So
it's great, I think. It's a great opportunity to have. There's going to be shooting sports opportunities as well. And you had me at archery.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to pick up archery. I've always wanted to learn how to do it. And again, I see the age limits. Okay. But more importantly for the kids, there's archery, air rifle, air pistol, shotgun, a number of different things that certainly a lot of kids around here, it never is going to hurt for them to be more and more familiar with a firearm.
Yeah, so there are programs that we offer on that countywide level, and you mentioned the shooting sports. So you don't have to find a club that excels in shooting sports if that's what your kid is interested in, right? We offer that at a county level. Same with dog training, dog obedience, working with your pet dog, and llamas. It's a new favorite.
I was waiting on that one. I didn't want to jump right to it, but yeah, llama project. What is that? That sounds awesome.
It is awesome. My daughter has participated in it now for 2 years. And if you're interested in, or if your children are interested in working with animals, but maybe not the typical farm animals or something like that, Lisa Blanchard is our program leader there, and she's amazing. You don't have to own your own llama. You get to go to her place, and you get to borrow her llamas, and you get to work with these amazing, gentle, friendly animals. But it's not just working with the animals. Then it's learning about health and wellness of them. It's learning about why do people keep llamas in the first place. It's learning about how their fibers are used and how to use them yourself. Like, it's this whole program that's just amazing. And it's, my daughter is 15 now, but like, it opened up a brand new world to her that she just discovered because she went to this fall forum that is going to be in Wisconsin Rapids this year. She went and she learned a little bit and she said, "Hey mom, can I try that?" And it was in just that whim of trying something new that she's discovered something that is just amazing for her. Built new friendships with kids from other schools, different ages again. Like, it's just a cool opportunity. And you can belong to any club in Wood County at all and still participate in that program.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that does bring up one last question I had. And how do you choose a club?
Yeah, every family has their own guidelines for what they choose. Busy families might choose that club that meets on the right day or at the right time. Some families might have a friend or another family member in a club, so they'll choose that the club that they already have a connection to. We have some clubs, especially for horse people, they tend to select the club based on project strengths. So we have a lot of families who join the Snyder 4-H Club because they've got a couple of just amazing horse leaders. So I think one of the best things to do is just to kind of try it on. You can visit a club without being a member yet to meet some people, to see how the meetings run, or you could give me a call at the 4-H office and I can help find a club. We can talk about all of those things we just talked about, like what are the factors that help you choose. And we do have information available on our Wood County 4-H website as well. If you wanted to see the list of clubs that we have in the county now, there's phone numbers for who their club leaders are. Like, conversation, I think, is probably the first place to start.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So,
and just to piggyback off of that, and rewind at the same time, one of the things that you've said a couple of times with us, and even in the interview today, you get what you put in, and I love that phrase, and I agree with it so much. So much of life is like that.
Yeah.
Also want people to know that if you are not, say, a project or a class or something, it's four long and you're not going to be able to hit every one of those, that's okay. You don't have to attend every meeting, every class. We understand life happens. There's other things the kids are involved in.
Absolutely true. So, and I feel that, right? Yeah, so yeah. I've got three kids. My daughter is a dancer. She dances four nights out of the week. Like, boy, I know not being able to make club meetings. But making what you can.
Yes.
And then in addition to the regular club meetings, there are usually other activities and other opportunities to get involved in community service. Those aren't necessarily on club meeting night. So just do as much as you can.
Yeah. Laura, we always have a great time talking with you. If people want to find out more information, how can they do that? You touched on that a little bit.
Yeah. So let me give the office phone number, and that's 715-421-8439. And if you've got questions about clubs, you know, ask for me or Wendy. Support staff in the office is also fantastic too. You could talk with either one of us about that club selection stuff, or you can email me at laura.huber@wisc.edu.
Always great talking with you, Laura. You take care, and we'll talk again real soon.
Excellent. Thanks so much, James.
We'll wrap up Morning Magazine tomorrow right here on WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.